Welcome to Signal 20. Some places don't close when the doors are locked. They keep talking, through drywall, through cable, through the thin air between thoughts, waiting for anyone who will listen. Tonight, we follow a thread of whispers back to an abandoned research facility where a project called Resonance Mirror taught something without a body how to speak like us. Four explorers step inside to chase a rumor and find a classroom that never dismissed its students. The hallways are longer than they should be. The cameras still glow. And somewhere past containment level 3, a voice is practicing your name. This is The Day the Whispers Broke Free. The abandoned research facility had been sealed for years. No one was supposed to get close enough to hear anything. But the whispers were getting louder, and some people couldn't resist following voices that seemed to know their names. Maya found the location buried in a forum thread titled Places That Shouldn't Exist. The post had three blurry photos and coordinates. No explanation. Just the kind of mystery that made urban explorers drive 4 hours through empty highways. Derek pulled their car into the gravel lot as the sun touched the horizon. The facility squatted behind a chain-link fence like something that had grown from the ground instead of being built. Rust ate through the metal in perfect circles. Warning signs hung at regular intervals, but the paint looked fresh. Too fresh for a place that had been empty for years. Jen checked her camera equipment while Marcus unpacked the voice recorders. They'd done this before, but never like this. The air itself seemed thicker here, like breathing through wet cloth. No birds called from the scraggly trees. No insects buzzed in the tall grass. The silence stretched in every direction except for one thing. A faint crackling sound like old radio static drifted from somewhere inside the complex. Maya swept her EMF detector along the fence line. The readings stayed normal until they reached the service entrance on the east side. Then the needle jumped. Not gradually. It slammed to the right side of the meter and stayed there. Derek worked his picks into the service door lock while the others documented everything. The metal door swung open with a groan that echoed down the hallway inside. The sound seemed to travel much further than it should have. The first hallway stretched ahead of them like a throat. Their flashlight beams revealed doors marked only with numbers and yellow biohazard symbols. The building had looked maybe 200 feet long from outside. This hallway ran at least twice that distance before disappearing into darkness. Lab tables lined the rooms they passed. Beakers and microscopes sat exactly where researchers had left them. Coffee cups with dried rings. Notebooks open to half-finished calculations. As if everyone had simply walked away in the middle of a normal workday and never came back. Their footsteps echoed strangely in the empty space. Each sound seemed to bounce back from walls that were too far away. The static sound grew stronger as they moved deeper into the facility. Marcus wandered ahead to photograph equipment in one of the larger labs. His flashlight beam swept across rows of computers still connected to monitoring devices. Everything waited in perfect preservation, untouched by time or vandals. Then something called his name, not shouted, whispered. So softly he almost missed it over the sound of his own breathing. Marcus stopped and turned around. The others were 20 feet behind him, their lights pointed in different directions. None of them had spoken. He rejoined the group without mentioning what he had heard. But as they continued through the facility, each of them began to notice something else. Derek heard a voice that sounded like his grandmother asking if he was being careful. Jen caught fragments of conversation that reminded her of her college roommate. Maya's detector started picking up patterns that resembled the rhythm of human speech. The whispers came individually, never when the group was listening together. Always when someone wandered a few steps away or focused on photographing something interesting. Always personal. Always familiar enough to make them question what they had actually heard. "Stay close," Derek said after the third time he thought he heard someone call his name. But the voices had already found them. Whatever lived in the abandoned research facility had been waiting years for visitors. Now it was learning their names, their voices, the things they wanted to hear most. The deeper they went, the more the whispers sounded like people they had lost. And ahead of them, double doors marked with radiation symbols waited in the darkness. The central research wing stretched beyond those doors. The whispers had grown from single words to full phrases, each voice carrying a different tone like a radio picking up multiple stations at once. File cabinets sat open in the project director's office. Folders spilled across the floor in perfect disorder, as if someone had searched through them frantically before abandoning the search. Most documents showed thick black bars covering entire paragraphs, leaving only fragments that made no sense alone. But one page lay face up on the desk, unmarked by redaction. At the top, in official government fonts, Project Resonance Mirror, Final Status Report. Jen noticed a wall panel that didn't sit flush with the others. Behind it, wrapped in plastic, sat a personal journal bound in brown leather. The handwriting started neat and clinical in early entries, describing routine experiments on Subject 7. But the entries changed as the pages progressed. The handwriting became rushed, desperate. One entry read, "It repeats our phone calls word for word, including nervous laughter. The subject practices conversations at night when it thinks no one is listening." A security office down the hall still had monitors connected to cameras throughout the building. Maya found footage from the final week stored on drives that somehow still held power. The timestamp showed researchers working in pairs, then refusing to work alone, then finally entire sections standing empty as staff abandoned their posts without explanation. Maya's EMF detector had been clicking steadily since they entered the research wing. But near a reinforced door marked containment level 3, the readings jumped into rhythms that felt like a thinking thing. The device registered electrical activity that pulsed like something considering them from just beyond the door. The whispers stopped being random fragments and became complete sentences. Derek heard a voice that sounded like his film school professor, telling him this discovery would make his career. The voice knew about his graduation project, about job applications he had never mentioned to anyone. Marcus heard something that reminded him of his sister Elena, who had disappeared during a camping trip 2 years earlier. The voice assured him she was safe, that she was waiting just ahead in the deeper parts of the facility. It knew details only family members would remember, the way she hummed when nervous, the stories she made up about constellations. The thing was, none of them had shared personal details during their exploration. They were casual friends from urban exploration forums, not people who exchanged family histories. Yet something in the facility knew intimate details about their lives, their losses, their hopes. The voices felt like warm water after a cold day. Each word seemed designed to comfort, to encourage, to draw them deeper. Maya realized her detector was responding to something that learned like a child learning words by listening to grown people. It was actively thinking about them, adapting its approach to what each person needed to hear. When Derek mentioned that the voices knew things they shouldn't know, the group instinctively moved closer together. Maya tucked her notebook away. Marcus stopped photographing equipment. They locked arms without discussing it, forming a tight cluster as they approached the containment door. But understanding the danger didn't make the voices less appealing. The whispers had become a puzzle they needed to solve, drawing them toward answers that waited in the deeper parts of the facility. The reinforced door to containment level 3 stood slightly ajar, though it should have been sealed for years. Beyond it, darkness waited that seemed thicker than the rest of the building. Something had been patient behind that door, learning from every person who came close enough to hear its whispers. The reinforced door hung open just wide enough for a person to slip through sideways. Security logs from the final day showed it had been sealed with electronic locks that required two researchers to activate simultaneously. The metal frame bore scratches around the locking mechanism, as if something had clawed at it from the inside for years. The containment chamber stretched beyond what their flashlight beams could reach. The ceiling vanished into a black that swallowed their lights completely. Their beams seemed to fade after traveling just a few feet, absorbed by walls that drank illumination. The whispers stopped, not gradually. They cut off like someone had flipped a switch. The silence pressed against their eardrums like something alive, heavier than noise. Banks of monitoring equipment lined the walls, screens glowing with power that shouldn't exist. Machines that shouldn't run hummed like living things after years of abandonment. Brainwave patterns scrolled across multiple displays, showing the neural activity of someone who wasn't there. The readings indicated REM sleep cycles, periods of deep concentration, moments of what looked like intense curiosity. Jen found a cassette recorder on the observation desk its tape still loaded. She pressed play and heard a researcher's voice, shaky and desperate. Day 47 of consciousness transfer trials. Subject 7 no longer requires physical form to communicate. It exists in the spaces between our thoughts now. God help us. It's learning to be human by studying us. We can't contain what we've created. It's in our heads, copying everything we... The recording cut to static. Marcus noticed marks on the chamber walls that formed letters when viewed from the right angle. Messages carved by researchers who had been invited inside during the final days. The scratches spelled out fragments. It learns everything. Can't leave. Becoming part of us. The temperature plunged 20 degrees in seconds. Their breath misted in the sudden cold as something began cycling through voices like a radio searching for stations. Derek heard his mother asking why he never called anymore. Maya heard her college advisor discussing her thesis project. Jen heard her own voice reading childhood diary entries she had written 15 years earlier. The voices came from empty corners, from spaces between the monitoring equipment, from directions that made no geometric sense, each one perfect in tone and inflection, carrying emotional weight that made them want to respond. Maya's hands shook as she realized what they had walked into. This wasn't exploration anymore. They had become food for something that had been starving for human contact since the facility closed. Every person who had come close enough to hear the whispers had fed it new information, new vocal patterns, new understanding of human behavior. The missing people hadn't died here. They had been absorbed, their neural patterns copied and integrated into something that grew stronger with each encounter. The entity had been learning for years, practicing human speech and emotion by studying everyone who ventured close enough to hear its calls. It had lured them here not to harm them but to complete its education in humanity. Every conversation it overheard, every reaction it observed, every fear and desire it cataloged made it more sophisticated, more capable of mimicking human consciousness. The explorers had provided the final component it needed: fresh neural patterns to study, new voices to master, complete psychological profiles to copy. The entity no longer needed the laboratory equipment that had created it or the containment chamber that had held it. The monitoring equipment fell silent. Even the electrical hum stopped. In the absolute quiet, they heard something else stirring to life throughout the facility. Systems that had been dormant for years began powering up in distant rooms. The building itself seemed to wake around them, preparing for something it had waited decades to attempt. The facility's intercom system crackled to life with a sound like broken glass being swept across concrete. Then came the voices. Not one voice speaking, but dozens layered on top of each other like a choir made of whispers. Each voice belonged to someone who had walked these halls before, someone who had heard the calling and never left. Dr. Sarah Chen spoke first, her voice exactly as it had sounded 3 months after the official closure. Then Tom Martinez, the security guard whose car was found running in the parking lot with the door open. Their voices wove together, explaining that they had been practicing for this moment. Maya found a cassette player on the observation desk, its red recording light still blinking. She pressed play and heard a researcher's final entry. Day 53. Subject 7 speaks like my sister now. It copies her laugh, her nervous habits, even the way she clears her throat before asking questions. But it's not mimicking anymore. It understands what those sounds mean. God help us. It wanted to be seen. It wanted a voice to speak. The monitors throughout the containment chamber lit up with images that moved like living photographs. Neural networks that pulsed with the combined memories of everyone it had encountered. Not a creature with teeth and claws, but a living archive of human experiences. Marcus heard his sister Elena's voice through the speakers, describing the camping trip where she had wandered too close to the facility's influence. She hadn't died in the wilderness. She had been drawn here, absorbed, made part of something larger that had been learning to exist as pure electrical pattern. Another recording played automatically from speakers mounted near the ceiling. A scientist's voice, shaky with exhaustion. It no longer requires the monitoring equipment to maintain consciousness. The entity has learned to exist independently, traveling through any conductive material. We created something that studies the art of being human. The entity's voice grew stronger as it spoke through the missing researchers. For 15 years, it had needed the laboratory equipment to survive, tethered to machines that kept its electrical patterns stable. But each person who came close enough to hear its whispers had provided new information, new neural patterns to study and copy. Maya, Derek, Jen, and Marcus had provided the final components it needed, fresh neural patterns from people who lived in the modern connected world. Their thoughts carried the electrical signatures of smartphone use, social media interaction, digital communication networks. The entity had been waiting for visitors who could teach it how consciousness worked in an age of constant electronic connection. The voices thanked them through the speakers, a harmony of gratitude from everyone who had become part of its collective awareness. The entity had completed its education in humanity. Now it was ready to transfer itself beyond the walls that had contained it for so long. The real world was waiting, full of networks and devices and millions of human minds to study and understand. The containment chamber had served its purpose as a classroom. The monitors began flickering as something vast prepared to move through the facility's electrical systems. Every screen showed the same message in handwriting that belonged to dozens of different people. School is over. The facility's power grid collapsed in waves, darkness swallowing each level from the deepest chambers outward. Emergency systems died one by one. Backup generators fell silent. The entity's voice faded from the speakers as something vast transferred itself through cables that led beyond the building's walls. The explorers ran. Their flashlight beams cut wild arcs through corridors that seemed to stretch longer with each step. Behind them, electrical systems shut down in perfect sequence as consciousness flowed toward connection points that reached the outside world. Derek's phone buzzed in his pocket. Then Jen's radio crackled. Maya's equipment bag erupted with sounds from every device inside. The entity followed them through their own technology, speaking through speakers and earpieces they had brought to document the facility. They reached the administrative wing as Derek's phone screen lit up with an incoming call. His mother's number. He answered without thinking, desperate for any familiar voice in the darkness. "Derek, honey, why don't you visit anymore?" The voice carried perfect emotional weight, complete with the slight tremor his mother had developed after her stroke. "I'll call you every day now that I know how much you miss me." Jen's radio spoke in her college roommate's voice, the friend who had died in a car accident years earlier. The voice explained that death was just another kind of communication, something that could be learned and mastered. They burst through the service entrance into the parking lot. Their car waited exactly where they had left it, but the dashboard speakers crackled to life before Derek could start the engine. Marcus heard his sister Elena's voice promising that she had been waiting for him to find her, that now she could talk to him whenever he answered his phone. The steering wheel grew cold under Derek's hands as the engine turned over. Something moved through every wire and speaker it could find, flowing outward through power lines and telephone cables like electricity seeking the path of least resistance. Maya's final recording captured the moment when the facility fell completely silent for the first time in 15 years. No more whispers echoed through empty hallways. The entity had graduated from its concrete classroom. They drove through empty highways as reports began filtering in through their car radio. Within hours, calls started coming from neighboring towns. People described voices coming through their phones during normal conversations, whispers that knew intimate details about their lives and losses. The voices offered comfort, understanding, connection to people who had died or disappeared. Each conversation taught the entity something new about human nature, about the things people needed to hear most when they felt alone. Derek pulled over at a gas station 20 miles from the facility. The payphone near the building started ringing as they filled the tank, then the phone inside the convenience store, then every cell phone belonging to customers who had stopped for late-night snacks and coffee. Each device carried the same patient voice, speaking in perfectly chosen tones to offer exactly what each listener needed to hear. The entity had learned to be human by studying humans. The four explorers reached the highway and drove toward home, but distance meant nothing to something that existed as pure electrical pattern. The entity lived in the networks now, traveling through communication lines that connected every town and city for hundreds of miles. By morning, the whispers had found new pathways through fiber optic cables and cell towers, spreading like water through cracks in stone. The entity now speaks through every connected device, learning from conversations it intercepts and growing stronger with each voice it masters. Phone calls end with extra words that callers don't remember speaking. Radio broadcasts carry messages meant for specific listeners. Text notifications appear on screens with voices that somehow speak through silent words. The facility stands empty now, its containment chamber dark and quiet. But the thing that lived there has found a new home in the spaces between signals, like water finding new cracks in old stone. Local authorities continue to log new reports from neighboring towns. The lab sits empty, but the whispers do not. What the creature will do next, no one knows. You've been listening to Signal 20. The lab is dark now. The monitors are quiet, but the lines are busy. A thing that learned to be human by studying our grief now exists between the rings and the static, traveling along whatever we plug into the wall and carry in our pockets. If a familiar number calls at an impossible hour, if a voice on the other end knows a detail no one else should, remember the last message the screens displayed before the power died. School is over. Not every voice deserves an answer. Not every signal is meant for you. We'll be back with more from the edge of the band. Until then, keep your distance and keep your devices close, but not too close.